You'll have to find out what he has to say there in about 40 minutes there. But the first domino has fallen with the Browns after this 1-5 start. They traded a guy. Don't know if you heard about that. If you've seen about that, Daryl Ryder and Andy Baskin talk about it on their podcast. It's Always Game Day in Cleveland, including post-game drops. A lot of energy after those post games. They get pretty mad. But subscribe to the podcast now, 923thefan.com, the free Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcast. Sponsored locally by Smiley One and Bryant, Northeast Ohio's premier heating and cooling solution. So as we get you ready here for game three, it was announced that Gavin Williams will be throwing in game four and getting the start. And what tonight represents, or what today, is it tonight? It's 5:08. How do we consider this in terms of, like, I consider that evening, but is that night? I don't know. I don't know why I'm talking about it either.
I say evening. I think it's evening.
It gets dark at 6:30 now. It's night.
Well, I don't know.
5:08 is not 6:30.
Yeah, but it'll be getting dark by then.
Jax treats his times of day like you know, numbers with decimals. He just rounds up. Well, like, 5:08, it's going to be dark in like 90 minutes.
In fairness, it's nighttime. With absolute love, Jax, you don't know the difference between a watch and a warning, so I really don't know.
I remember that conversation.
I just don't know that I can really rely on you a lot here, so I might just have to do the contrarian thing. So I do want to address this thing about the lights being too bright, mostly because, like, I understand this idea of New York and the concrete jungle and how tough it is to play. I'm not saying it didn't factor into it, but I'll be honest with you. I think it's convenient logic. I think it ties in with the narrative. You know, the stuff we talked about with.
Do you think it's an excuse?
I just think they played bad, and I'll go back to it. They played poorly. They had several games that they played poorly in Detroit, and we weren't like, are the lights too bright? I think I just feel so uncomfortable, because if that's true, like, that speaks to a team that is probably mentally weaker than I thought they were. You know, like, there's no reason for a team now in there. Is it their fourth postseason series together? Because obviously they had the Tampa Bay series and the New York series previously.
It's most of the same guys.
Like, what guys, if they lose this series, it's not going to be because they played New York. It's going to be because they didn't have enough starting pitching, and maybe because the bats didn't show up when they needed them to in clutch situations. And, you know, they've had every opportunity. Like, that's continues to what mystifies me about all this is we act as if the wide gap, there's just not a wide gap. You just haven't played good baseball. And I do think home cooking is huge with that. But I'm not, that doesn't, like, if they, because what's going to happen is if they win today or tonight, however we say it, the confirmation bias is going to come out and be like, well, see, they just, because they're not New York anymore. No, I think they just played two bad games. I think that's just as simple as, and by the way, I thought Vogt was bad in both of those first two games. And again, not that he's.
See, I don't know, though. I think last series, there was moments where you could realistically look back and be like, Stephen Vogt messed this up. You know, like, maybe this loss is on him. I'm not saying
you're talking about game five specifically. That win was on him, but his handling of Matthew Boyd in game five was not great.
I'm not saying that he was the reason they lost those games or whatever. I think there was a lot of reasons for that. But I do think, like, there was moments in that series where you could point and say and question Vogt. I think, like, this series, I think there's been very few and far between in terms of, like, things I can point to and say, well, that was, you know, Stephen Vogt mismanaged this game and they lost because of it. Like,
Joey Cantillo was an absolute train.
That was a bad choice. I agree.
And, that was the worst choice. It was the one choice you couldn't make.
So you think that game's on Stephen Vogt then?
How many runs was it off of Joey Cantillo?
I still go back to that game and say, okay, when you had runners in scoring position, the bats weren't there.
Yeah, and why? Because in, what was that, the eighth inning, you pinch hit, David Fry for Will Brennan. So those two decisions, at least in game one. Game two, I do
you
just think...
You said you were done with Will Brennan, though. I thought you would rather have David Fry up at the plate.
Well, yeah, no, my point is, he David Fry was the DH.
Oh, and you pinch I see. You said it backwards. That's why it threw me off. I'm sorry.
You should know exactly what I mean. How dare it, how I say it. But no, like, I don't think you can let him off the hook for game one. If game two is a little bit different, I don't think game two is as cut and dry of Stephen Vogt. Like, And here's the thing. He shouldn't change what he's doing. He is an aggressive manager. But, you know, to like the idea of, well, Joey's been good in relief. No, he hadn't. He's had one relief appearance previously.
See, I guess but the other thing with the Cantillo move, like, again, maybe he could have got him out of there sooner, but it did feel like he understands, like, longer series, less days off in between. Like, I don't, maybe he was thinking, like, I don't want to go, like, tap into the top leverage guys in my bullpen immediately. So he tried it. I mean, I don't know. I understand what you're saying. That was obviously the most egregious decision for the first two games. And in theory, it obviously you look back and you say it cost him that game because Cantillo was awful.
Well, and real quick with that, because that is symptomatic of why I think you're down 0-2. I think everybody in Cleveland knows. And here's the thing. It's not even like this is the worst kept secret in baseball. The Guardians emphasized game two. They wanted to put more eggs in their basket to make sure they had all their high leverage guys going because they had their best pitcher on the bump. And then they lost both games. Yeah. So, like, again, like, there's nothing wrong with being down 0-2 in this situation, but let's not say, like, it's just on the players. Nah, nobody's been good. Nobody's really been, okay, I shouldn't say nobody because Stephen Kwan continues to get hits. But, like, in terms of you win, this team wins as a team. This organization wins as a team. First two games they've lost as a team, but it starts with their skipper. It's not about change of the aggression. It's about when you're aggressive, you better be right and pull the right lever. That's the only difference between winning and losing with Stephen Vogt. It's not the style. It's not change the style. It's just make sure when you do pull that lever, the damn thing goes.
Yeah, and I get what you're saying. I think there's obviously reasons you can point back, and you can always look at decisions in a microscope of any game and be like, well, manager messed this one up. I also just think, like, I felt more in the Detroit series when they lost the two games in a row. I felt like there was more blame to go around for Vogt in that series and at that stage of the series than I did after these two losses. Like it just felt like in that moment on that stage the bats they retreated again. They went back to not being able to hit in key situations, which was the thing they were doing at the end of the Detroit series. And then on top of that, like Tanner Bibee, your best pitcher. To your point, like they were counting on game two kind of being the game that they potentially steal. To do that, they needed a better performance from Tanner Bibee, and he just didn't give it to you.
216-474-0092. How much of the 0-2 hole the Guardians are in is on Stephen Vogt? We're going to continue with that. Talk about the home cook and get to some of your calls next on 92.3 The Fan.